The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While they were amazed at Jesus' every deed, he said to his disciples, "Pay attention to what I am telling you. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men." They did not understand this saying. Its meaning was hidden from them so that they should not understand it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, the very brief Gospel, but it has a very important point. And, you know, you may have heard this expression before, you know, ask not, lest ye be answered, you know. And there's a kind of a tendency that we kind of want to walk. Well, we sort of prefer ignorance a lot of times. You know, we don't want to know. We don't want to know. And this is, of course, part of our flesh. You know, if we have too much information, then we have to act according to it. Now, all the moral relativism of our age is really fueled on this. When I say we, I'm talking about the collective we humans. We love all this confusion. We love it. Because you see, then we say, well, you know, there's lots of opinions, and some people say this, and some people say that. And what does that allow us to do? To not, if you will, choose to listen to the truth and then base our life on it. Because again, very often the truth has demands of us. But if everything's kind of up for grabs, and we can just kind of pick and choose what we please from moment to moment and not have to make a commitment to the truth and actually live according to it. And so we tend to avoid the truth. We tend to shy away from it. And we love to pretend that, well, maybe there's lots of opinions. Who's really to say? We don't know it. We don't know the answer. And we love it. We love it. Now, here you have these disciples, these apostles, and he's trying to teach them about the cross. And in a way, they will not understand this. It says its meaning is hidden from them. And they just won't understand it at this point. They're not ready. They can't comprehend what is being taught to them. And it simply says they were afraid to ask him any more questions about this. So ask not, lest ye be answered. Now, there's another saying, though, in a more positive vein, namely this, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I don't know about you, I've experienced this many times in my life. There were things that I wasn't ready to understand. There were things that I wasn't able to understand. But at a certain point in my life, enough things were in place that all of a sudden, aha, things became clear to me. And I was ready to accept and to hear certain things that I wasn't at an earlier stage in my life. And so once again, as I kind of commented with you last week, we sort of have to, when we're working with the people of God, we sort of have to be in this for the long run with them. We can't just think, well, I'm just going to teach one class and this will make everyone convinced, or I'm going to do one sermon, or I'm going to give one presentation and everyone will be clear and everyone will go home now knowing the answer and base their lives upon it, and that'll be it. See, again, that isn't usually the way we human beings are built. People often require lots of repetition. They require reminders. Year after year after year, just constantly going back over the same ground. And finally, like water, you know, breaking through a rock. It takes 10,000 years, but finally it breaks a hole through the rock. And that's how we are. And I think that there's a fairly realistic portrait that's simply given of the human person here. And again, as we work with the people of God, and we are worked upon ourselves by others, and God is working with us, we sort of have to, again, appreciate this sort of human nature, at least this fallen version of it that we have, that there is a a need for us. That there's a certain sense that people don't want to know. They're kind of, they prefer the confusion. They prefer the darkness. They prefer to kind of lurk in the shadows and on the periphery of issues. But little by little, they can be drawn in to finally see and to finally appreciate the truth of things. But it takes constant work. These apostles would all come to a place in their life after Jesus had died and risen and ascended, and particularly after the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, where they were finally able to boldly go out and preach the cross, to preach Jesus and Him crucified, to announce these very things that they were shunning at this time. And that's, again, I think, a source of encouragement for us. I would say that a lot of times, sisters, that we end up planting seeds that others will harvest years later in the kind of work we do. Certainly been my blessing as a priest, and I'm sure many of you already in your religious life, to bring in a harvest that someone else planted. You know, someone will knock on the rectory door, and yeah, it's been years they've been away from the church or what have you, or at least away from confession, and they're just finally ready. And someone was praying for them. Someone had said something to them. Maybe it was their mother who's been dead for 30 years or 20 years. And it's finally gotten through to them. It's finally gotten through that they need to come to God, that they need to depend on God and seek His mercy and His forgiveness. And I'm able to joyfully reap the harvest. Someone else did the work. And it is with us. We are sometimes privileged to reap a harvest, to rejoice. I think of some of the people who've already signed up for RCIA, you know, at the parish and all. You know, it's a harvest, and I'm privileged to reap it. But others have worked for it, and likewise, I'm at the other end of the spectrum with you as well. That we're sometimes planting seed, and you may talk to someone out here in the neighborhood. I know you're very good about that. And a young lady came by to Bible study not long ago or last week, and she said you told her to come, so she was there. But I know that you have other experiences where, you know, you'll talk to someone in the neighborhood, and they'll just sort of say go away, or they'll be nasty, or at least just, you know, sort of unresponsive. But you just never know what seed you've planted. You just never know. And you just keep working. Just keep working. You know, sometimes we're not planting seeds, but we're weeding. We're pulling some weeds, or we're cultivating. It's a lot of hard work, but it's good work. It's good work. And just notice again, these apostles who are at this stage are confused. They prefer to lurk in the darkness. They don't want to know the answer. They're playing all kinds of games and trying to lurk in the shadows and avoid the truth. But at one, that's at one point in their life, and now here at another point, wow, you know, they're alive and they're preaching and they're ready to die for the faith, you see. And this is our nature as human beings. Now, just at a personal level, I have my story. You may have yours as well. But I think if you were to go back into a time machine and look at me at, I don't know, 14, 15 years of age, you'd be pretty discouraged by what you saw, you know. I mean, I think at the time I was probably an agnostic. I didn't know if God did exist. I didn't care. What's God got to do for me? You know, what's He done for me lately? And I had long hair down on my shoulders, and I had all kinds of crazy, you know, rock music and stuff I was listening to, and, you know, I was chasing the girls and all that stuff. And it was just, you know, you go back in a time machine and you say, wow, I mean, this hardly seems like the guy who will become a priest, you know. I mean, you know, I was not a particularly religious, you know, young man growing up, or any of those things. But somewhere in the midst of all that, seeds were being planted. And I know who was planting the first seeds, particularly my mother and my grandmother, my paternal grandmother. We called her Nana, was a very holy woman, and she prayed her beads every day. What a devout woman, and what a great woman she was. And I know she was praying, and I know my mother was praying, and just to get me through those crazy teenage years intact, you know. And it worked. But it took a long time. A lot of things come into place. And there was also a time in my life when I was extremely shy, and I remember I didn't take piano lessons as a kid. They were offered to me. I didn't take them because I was afraid I'd have to give a recital and be in front of other people. I couldn't bear to be in front of a crowd. I couldn't bear to be in front of other people. And you know, now look at me. You can't shut me up. And I eventually learned to play the organ, and I became the organist and the choir director at the seminary. And I had a recital every morning to play, you know. And so it's just funny how life works, you know. But as I say, maybe I don't mean to keep going over the same ground, but just to say it one more time and be done. And that is, again, remember, this is a long-term game that we're in. This isn't something that is going to be accomplished in one conversation or one thing. And if it does seem like it was accomplished in one conversation, I got news for you. It really wasn't. There were some seeds. There were some foundations that were laid by others. So we're either laying a foundation or planting seeds, or we're completing a building, or we're reaping a harvest. Whatever it is that we're doing, but we're at some stage in that. This is teamwork. This is what we do with people who've gone before us, people who will come after us, and together as a group. So again, these apostles at one stage, but we know the end of the story. And again, perhaps you have your own story, a time when you were very either irreligious, or maybe there was a time in your life when you were far from the Lord, but here you are now as brides of Christ, you see. We all have these stories to tell. So, and thank the Lord for his patience, amen. Just thank him that he doesn't call the harvest too quick, because he lets some things come that take longer times to come to maturity. And so the Lord says, let these things grow together till the harvest, and then we'll sort it all out. So it is. We should take courage. Is it frustrating at times? But you never know. You just never know. A young kid with long hair on his shoulders who denies that God exists may one day be a priest. And it's amazing how that works. Amen. Mm-hmm.